Hello and welcome to this week's You May or May Not Like It Rebirth Podcast. I am your host, Scott. You can find me on Twitter at XorsonX, and I'm here with Brian. You can find on Twitter at Pure Rock Fury. The books for this week are Batman Detective number 935, Superman Action Comics number 958, Aquaman number 1 for the second week in a row, The Flash and Wonder Woman also number 1, which I understand that the first ones were one-shots, but this story picks up right where they left off, so it seems kind of silly to have number 1 followed by number 1, but whatever! Alright, so we're pretty much going to do them in that order because that's the order they're stacked here. And, so let's do it. The first one on the list is Batman Detective. If you recall, in the first one, it's basically Batwoman and Batman going around recruiting younger heroes to basically form a Bat Army to go up against this unknown villain. So this one, Batwoman basically has taken over the training in the, what did they call it?
The mud room.
In the mud room. They somehow had some leftover clay from Clayface or some weird thing, and it simulated a bunch of villains, and they fought for hours on end until they basically just said, you know what? I quit. Outside of the training, there really wasn't too much going on in this issue. Until the end, I don't want to say too much about it, but it just involves Batman and, you know, his trying to figure out where they're going to go with this whole scenario as far as the trainees and when they're ready to go and whether or not they should, you know, help people while they're still training or just concentrate on training, blah, 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 blah. Overall,
that was good.
Yeah. Well, it's a single issue. I'm not going to give the whole story away because there's no reason to read it. But in my opinion, this was probably the weakest one for this week.
I don't think it was the weakest, but it definitely is not the best. I like the whole, the downtown Gotham Belfry is what it's called, I believe. The new,
right,
like, high-tech Bat Family Batcave. It's at the top of, I'm guessing, one of the Wayne Towers. That's where the mudroom is, and that's where Tim Drake, Batwoman, Spoiler, they're all operating out of. And there's a couple of Clayfaces operating out of there. It's essentially like Batcave 3.0. They skipped right over 2.0. This is like super high tech. It's right in the center of the city. It said something like they'll get 911 calls faster than the 911 operators themselves, which gives them a leg up on where things are happening. Only problem with this issue is really nothing's happening. I mean, there's some stuff going on, and there's some new, I guess, maybe villains. It's hard to say. But, yeah, this book, I don't know. I liked the first one, but I didn't love it, and this one's kind of a mess, too. Like, I mean, I'm not saying they can't pull it together as it goes on, but right now it's just kind of all over the place a little bit. Either that or it's just not really doing anything super new and interesting, I guess.
I'm going to go ahead and say that whatever plans they have for it will pay off in the end, but it's the getting us there that is, in my opinion, a little lacking, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, James Tinney in the fourth is writing this, and some of his stuff I love. Mimetic and Cognetic on Boom were both super good, really interesting stories. The Woods on Boom was just okay. And UFOlogy, I only read the first issue. I remember liking it but not loving it. And then his Batman Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles thing was just, ugh. That was a match made in a holy crap, what a bad idea that was. I never went beyond the first issue, so maybe it suddenly got amazing, but I don't know who cooked that up, but they really ought to get demoted.
Yeah. So, number and move.
Oh, all right, that quickly, eh?
You said you wanted to get through fast, and we can't say that much.
Well, yeah, listen, it's hard to really get deep once you get past the number one, because the number one sets up everything, and number two kind of takes the ball and just runs the next signpost. I'm going to give this a 6.5, and I'm a huge, huge Batman fan. I'm pretty forgiving when it comes to Batman. There are Batman trades that got like 2 stars on Amazon that I was like, ah, I give it a 4 out of 5. I don't know why my voice went so high. This one's, I mean, again, I'm all for all these different Bat family members, the Red Robins and the spoilers and the Batwoman I'm a big fan of, and I don't know, right now this is not, it's like it got out of the gate a little weak and just kind of sputtering along with this issue, so I hit the table really loud.
That as rules. Always. yeah, I'm same exact, you know, I mean, I love the characters in the book. They're all, I'm super pumped that they're all like in this and together and working for something, but this issue just, it was kind of like a segue issue, I guess. That didn't really advance the story that much, I guess.
Yeah, this is kind of, this is the easiest way to compare it. I drive a stick shift and I leave really early for work in the morning, so sometimes I have a tendency to nod off at the light and then I forget to put it back in first gear, so I'll end up having it in fourth gear and I'll start nodding off and the light turns green and I'm like, all right, and then, you know, I go, oh yeah, that's right, I gotta put it in first, so, you know, 6:30 in the morning.
It's weird. So, yeah, 6.5 for me as well. Moving on to Superman Action Comics 958. This one, if you remember the last one, this is the one we were talking about that Superman was dead, but there was a Superman here from another timeline. And then when Superman in this timeline actually died, Lex Luthor picked up the torch and ran with it as a new Superman, I guess you could say. And at the end of the last one, Doomsday appeared, and it broke when Clark Kent Superman and Lex Superman were all in the same spot. And it's like, okay, wait a minute. If Superman is dead, why is Clark Kent here? What timeline did this other Superman come from? And Super Lex was pretty awesome. And that's where we kind of left that one. This one picks up immediately in the same spot. Superman is trying to fight Doomsday. Lex is helping out, kind of not helping out, kind of, you know, trying to take a step back because he's like, you know, he seems to be immune to everything I'm doing. Let me kind of, you know, think about what's the best move here. And then, was it Jimmy's yelling at Clark Kent, like, we all know you're Superman, damn it. Will you just get in there and do something? And he's like, I don't know what you're talking about, which makes it even that much more confusing. Overall, yeah, this is a solid story. Absolutely solid. I loved the first one. I love the second one equally as much.
What I do like, I'm not super into the idea of recreating the Doomsday battle over again. That seems like a well-worn trope that didn't need to be revisited. But I like the concept of, we live in this world where it's selfies and videos and Vine videos and I gotta get my political opinion on Facebook for the world to hear. Blah, 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 blah. People in a normal state of mind would run from disaster and danger, but now, because everybody's got a friggin' 10 megapixel video camera on their phone, they run towards anything dangerous, going, I'm gonna be the guy who gets the video, woo!
Yeah.
And this entire thing is essentially recreating the Doomsday Superman battle, although now there's also Super Lex involved. Destruction everywhere. And everybody's running, going, oh my god, I gotta get this on my phone. So that kind of put an interesting spin on what would have otherwise been a giant waste of like 12 pages. So in that sense, it worked. I'm not going to say that what he's doing with Super Lex is wrong. I just would have done something different.
I don't know. I totally dig the Super Lex.
I was kind of liking the idea of Super Lex kind of being the protector of Metropolis by himself for a while and possibly having nefarious reasons for doing so that he kept, you know, either to himself or in close circles. So this one seems like it's a Superman Lex Luthor team up. Then there's this other Clark Kent that's just collecting dust, essentially. He's not really doing anything except just running around in circles going, "I'm Clark Kent. What am I doing? Oh my God. Right. How did I get here?"
But let's not forget that one of the main things focused around this entire rebirth is everybody lost 10 years and they just don't remember shit. So maybe he forgot he was Superman.
It's possible. Definitely possible.
I don't know how you would if you only lost 10 years, because he's definitely older than 10. But something going on there. I'm super intrigued. This one is one of my favorites still.
It's not my favorite, but it's interesting. I think there was, I mean, they really put, again, emphasis on the action, which I don't always love. I know that's kind of, and that's antithetical to what superhero comics are about. But as I've said, just strictly going off the TV show The Flash, the reason why the show is so great and why I love it so much is because the action is there and it's very much in the superhero vein, but it's not just punch, kick, run, punch, fly, kick, punch, 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 bad guy defeated, game over. It's like a team of problem solving and figuring out the best course of action. It's more strategic and doesn't always work, and one thing actually causes another thing to go wrong, so it keeps the story moving, which is always why you keep watching. I did like the angle of what would a gigantic superhero battle look like in the age of everybody having a smartphone. And then even you got the guys in the helicopter like, "Wait, get closer. I got to get a good shot of this."
Yeah.
Like, we can't ever...
But that's when you realize a key piece about Doomsday. And I don't want to say much, but there's a little something in there, too.
Hint, mustache.
Curly mustache.
It's actually Bill the Butcher.
That would be awesome.
They brought him back.
Superman would lose in a heartbeat.
Yeah, they'd have to get Priest Valen and make him into Doom's Knight.
People have no clue what we're talking about right now.
So I bet you there's like two people that do.
Probably, and they're like, "Hell yeah, that'd be awesome.
I would love to see Bill the Butcher fight Superman for no reason, but only if he's got the top hat and the glass eye." Why do I keep pounding this table?
Because you do it every single time we record.
I'm very passionate about my Bill the Butcher.
You and Mike, just neither one of you can sit still. You're always banging the table, banging the microphones.
I gotta do finger guns and fists.
Why don't you do finger numbers?
Finger numbers. I'm going to give this one a 7. I like it, but again, I don't love it. It's better than the main Superman title that Peter Tomasi is doing, at least from what I've read thus far. Okay, for me, and I don't want to go on a tangent necessarily, but when they relaunched... When they did the New 52 and Grant Morrison took over the Superman action title... He tried to bring it back to Superman's original roots when he's got the jeans and the t-shirt, and he was more of a social justice warrior. And it was really, I mean, I only read like the first 15 issues, but it was really good. And it kind of, I felt like, put more emphasis on character development, whereas this feels more like that number one setup was kind of trying to make sense for everybody, like where we're at, and now it's just thrown you into this blender of Superman everywhere, and Lex Luthor's Superman, but he's kind of good, but not really, but we don't really know yet, and he's sort of got powers, but he's not super strong, because, you know, Doomsday can crush his head like a grape, and Superman, as strong as he is, still can't take Doomsday by himself, and I don't know. It's a little too frenetic for me at the moment, in terms of, like, where there's, like, 50 dudes all over the place, and I don't really know where they're all supposed to be or where they're headed.
That's what I like the most about it. Possibilities are endless, and I think you're nuts, and I'm giving it a 9.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And moving on. Next is Aquaman. Now, if you remember what was it, 2 weeks ago now, when the one shot of Aquaman came out, I had, you know, in that issue, Aquaman spent a little bit of time kind of making fun of Aquaman, you know, which was funny, but it got old because they did it throughout the entire book, which is what really brought that. Because I know, I believe Mike really liked that one, and I didn't. I thought that really, like, I understand you want to make fun of him and kind of, you know, make light of the subject, whatever. And it was funny at first, but you went too far with it. This issue, complete 180, it's all seriousness. It's all, you know, basically, I don't know if it's exactly the, you know, grand opening. I don't want to, that sounds terrible to say, but, you know, they're welcoming people into the, basically, Atlantean embassy to try and start working on the relations between the land dwellers and the Atlanteans. Atlantean. That's really weird to say. But this was probably one of the better ones this week as well. Like, as far as compared to the first one, this one definitely is far better than the first one than any of the other ones were, if that even makes sense. This was the biggest surprise for me this week because I really enjoyed this book. And I know we mentioned that at the end of the first one that, you know, Black Manta was part of the deal. Well, he's in this one too, and he's starting to wreak some havoc. And I don't know much about the guy, but he seems pretty awesome. But yeah, this book was, I guess, the breakout star for the week for me.
Again, to go back to New 52 era, which is like 5 years ago, but whatever. When Geoff Johns took over the Aquaman book, when the New 52 started, everybody was raving about the Aquaman, the Trench story, and how it was so good, and oh my god, you gotta read that. It's totally like legitimized Aquaman. So I kept looking through it and going, it looks really awesome. Bought it, and I was like, yeah, it's okay. It's not great, but it's good. It's, you know, I didn't hate it. This is from Dan Abnett, who writes a lot of Warhammer novels. And he wrote a He-Man series, which I admit I liked way more than I probably should have. 99% of why, because it was He-Man, and I thought it was, you know, whoa, I'm going to relive my childhood. Plus, the characters are always hilarious to me. So I honestly didn't have big hopes for this. This book was excellent.
Agreed.
All the way from start to finish. I'm not versed well in the Aquaman portion of the DCU. I know a little bit. from what I gather about Black Manta, he is a surface dweller who hates surface dwellers and turned against them and joined the dark side of the Atlanteans, which is Aquaman's brother, Orm, I believe, who is the other heir to the throne. It's a little bit more complicated than I'm even making it sound. But this just totally got my attention all the way. I loved this one more than any of them this week.
Well, like I said, as Aquaman always kind of being the butt of all the jokes, this book, I think, is really going to turn around.
We're going to turn around this franchise!
I feel like the New 52 kind of started that, and I've talked to a few people that said, you know, I never, ever would have picked up an Aquaman anything in my life, but, you know, I either checked out the New 52 version or read him in one of the various Justice League books, and, you know, he's actually kind of an interesting character, and now I'm less against the idea of reading an Aquaman or giving an Aquaman a chance, and I think this is a super strong reintroduction of the Arthur Curry mythos. And again, like the whole embassy, it kind of, it's going to sound almost ham-fisted to say this, but it almost feels like this weird parallel to Benghazi. And I know that's really a stretch in a way, But, you know, you hear you have an embassy in a hostile area, like, depending in, you know, and it's being attacked. And here you have an embassy, I did it again, an embassy in what is normally thought of as hostile territory. Because, you know, the land dwellers hate the Atlanteans and vice versa. And this is a first time they're trying to work together to build a greater tomorrow. And here comes Black Manta as, like, the Timothy McVeigh type, planting explosives and trying to kill people and drown them all in the embassy and so on. It's got some bare-bones parallels, I admit, but I just think the story's super interesting, like, right away.
So, yeah, like I said, this is basically the most improved from the first one-shot that came out 2 weeks ago. Not to say that the others aren't, you know, good still, but this one definitely raised the roof on the Aquaman verse.
Raise the roof?
Let's just move this on before I... Because I'm going to keep trying to think of some better way to fucking word this, and it ain't going to happen. So, I'll go... I'm the same as Action on this. It's a 9.
Yeah, I'm going to give this a 9. It was my favorite this week. I definitely am on board at some level, whether that be collecting the singles or getting the trade when it comes out. But, yeah, this is good. I definitely am going to swim through the story of Aquaman.
Wow. All right, next on the list.
Trying to bring some poor comedy to this thing right now.
And you're succeeding. So, let's talk about some Flash facts, if you...
Oh, God.
Yep. So, the Flash, again, picks up where the last one left off. You got Barry Allen trying to do too much, you know, feeling like he never does anything because he, you know, he's always got too much to do and he can't finish anything. And this one was, honestly, I read it a few hours ago. I barely remember hardly anything about it. So why don't you spit some knowledge, son?
It picks up after the rebirth where, you know, it says Wally West was the Flash for a long time and now I'm back to being the Flash again, and Wally West is joining the Teen Titans, and his whole thing is, it kind of rings a bell in my head, because we're always talking about, you know, we got all these things we want to do, we're trying to do, and can never get anything done. We're trying to do this website, we're always doing these podcasts, we're trying to fit in some gaming and some movies and some, you know, recreational activity time, etc. Some trying to get sleep, trying to exist in this world, and it's just never enough time to get anything done, and nothing gets done. And that was his whole thing, is, you know, I could run over here and save a lady from a burning building, but then a guy across town's getting stabbed, or I'm saving this guy from getting robbed, but this lady over here is in a car accident and I'm too slow, I can't get there to stop it. And, you know, I still have my regular day job. And that was his thing. The one thing about my day job is, as a forensic scientist, I can never save the day because I come in after the crime's been committed. And I was like, that's interesting.
But he feels the need to make sure he solves everything because everybody deserves justice.
Right. That, see, the thing is, I didn't read the one shot of, you know, that's a Flash fact. The minute you told me that, I was like, well, I am done with that book already.
You didn't read it?
No. And the minute you told me that's a Flash fact, I said, well, I'm off that book immediately, because that sounds dumb. I am used to the Flash from the New 52 era, and even some before, and from the show. And granted, again, I'm no Flash expert, but I know a little bit. And when I heard Flash fact, I was like, nope, not doing that. So I was really not looking forward to this. Interestingly enough, I enjoyed this quite a bit.
I did, but it was nothing that... Nothing really stood out for me in this book.
The only things I felt were weird were the whole Iris was Wally West's aunt.
Yeah.
Which, in the show,
Different Wally West, though, wasn't it?
Well, that's just the thing. In this book, Iris's nephew, Wally West, is her nephew, but the Wally West Flash is a totally different Wally West. On the show, Wally West is introduced as Iris's long-lost brother, and they've not introduced a Flash Wally West, so I can only assume, and I'm speaking again from the TV show, I can only assume that the Wally West that's Iris' brother will eventually become Kid Flash or a speedster of some kind. And the whole thing is they keep building it up that he's like into fast cars and he's into car racing. He does illegal street racing. So the whole speed thing's being hinted at already. So I don't know how that played out in the comics prior to the show. I'm really mostly familiar with Wally West from the show. Yeah. So that was weird. And now I'm so used to Grant Gustin playing Barry Allen, seeing Barry Allen blonde again. I was like, what?
Yeah, that had no effect on me.
But, yeah, I just, I like this. I mean, it was a little bit lighter than the stuff I've read in the past. A little bit more funny, I guess.
I think the best way to, and this, again, I could be wrong, but I'm thinking because this whole rebirth seems to focus around a Flash, whether it be Wally West, whether they're going to bring Barry Allen into the mix as part of it, I don't know. But the whole thing seems to revolve around something that a Flash did to the Flash, the Speed Force. I think they're trying to cram a lot of backstory, or they're trying to, like, you know what I'm saying? I don't know.
I don't. I mean, again,
I feel like they're trying too hard with the Flash. Not that it's bad, but I feel like they're trying to almost explain a lot of things that are going on in some, in like with the Speed Force and everyone losing 10 years of their lives. 10 minutes, wouldn't that be awesome? But I don't know. I feel like they're just almost taking on too much to try and get through in the Flash books.
It did feel kind of like they're trying to keep up with what's going on in the TV show and at the same time completely separate themselves from the TV show. Because it feels like, oh, they're trying to introduce things and characters and places from the show that may or may not have been part of the comics previously, and yet at the same time establish an entirely different feel than what's on the television show. Because really the television show almost at this point is a jumping off point for everybody, because the show is really popular, and I'd say 70% of the audience has never picked up a comic book in their life, let alone a Flash comic book. So they're trying to lure in maybe viewers by going, hey, here's a jumping on point for your new favorite character, because everybody loves the Flash now. Because the Flash literally went from comic book popular, and even in that realm, he was kind of a B, maybe a high C-lister, to he's like an A-plus character at this point, because the show has just caught fire.
Yeah, I guess what I'm trying to say is every character, every book so far, the characters' stories are contained within themselves. But with The Flash, they're trying to encompass they're trying to kind of bring everything together. So it's just a lot to get through right now. And it's not to say that it's hurting it. It's just not as entertaining as the rest.
I don't know. I like this.
It was good. I'm not saying it was bad. The other ones feel more exciting, more action-packed, more fun. This almost seems like a serious story that's just trying to reel it all together somehow.
I don't know. I this was also one of my top picks for the week.
All right, then. I'm at a 7 with it.
I'm actually at an 8.5.
Yeah.
Again, and like for me, it could be because I love the show so much that it just, you know, I'm becoming more forgiving, but I like the character. I like the world. I want to be in that world. I wish I could run. Maybe I wouldn't have these man boobs.
Gross.
No, 8.5.
All right. And the last one for the week is Wonder Woman. If you remember, it was just Mike and I when we did this one, and I actually talked him into a higher score because I tried to explain it a little better, because he doesn't pay much attention. He's got one of them little minds. So I helped him out there. He ain't here to defend himself, so I'll say what the fuck I want. I don't care. So anywho, this one picks up. If you remember on the last one, she was trying to get back home, but when she got there, quote unquote, she was actually somewhere else, and she was trying to figure out what the hell's going on, and she's really confused, and so this picks up where that is, and she's basically on an island, I would assume, of some sorts. And it seems like they kind of look like werewolves, but they kind of have, like, bat faces. It's really... Maybe they're bat wolves. I have no idea.
Wolf bats?
Wolf bats. Really weird, man-sized, bat-faced wolf, hairy guy. Whatever. The first one, I really dug. This one, I came down a little bit on. It, you know, she's just going through the, you know, island, whatever, looking for whoever it is she's looking for, basically saying, I'm not here to fight. I'm here for answers. I need your help. I'll give you, you know, you're only going to get three warnings, and here's the first one. And then they attack. And like, all right, well, here's a second warning. And it's like, oh, here's another attack. And then it's, she finally gets to who she wants to see. And, of course, they start fighting. And then the last page is them kind of face-to-face, kind of like, you know, what do you want to do now? You know what I mean? Like, I think I know how Mike felt in the first one now, because on this one, I'm just so, like, confused about what the hell is going on that, like, it took me out of it a little bit. The first one, I feel like they did a better job of, I don't want to say explaining the scenario, but I got it. This one, it picked up right where it left off, so it's not like I don't understand what's going on, but at the same time, like, they gave you nothing until the end when they showed you who they're looking for, but I have not read every single Wonder Woman book out there. I have no clue who that person was at the end of the book. Even when they said the name, I was like, I doesn't clear it up, and I'm not sure I like the way she looks. So,
yeah, like one panel she looked good, and the next panel I'm like, what?
Right.
Like one, she has a mullet now? What is this?
Well, and that's the thing. Like, she looked, I don't want to say evil, but like she just looked like a badass in the one panel. And then the last panel, they're like, they just get the Broadway? Are they watching Cats right now? Like, what the hell just happened? It's really weird. I don't know. People out there who are huge fans of Wonder Woman or who are familiar, you might be, you know, jumping in your boots for all I know. But I was a little down on this one.
Well, the number one Rebirth book, the introduction to this new reboot, I did not like at all. And I stand by my not liking it. I thought it was stupid. It felt like a montage with a guitar solo.
Montage.
If she says the story keeps changing one more time, I'm going to throw myself off a bridge. It is so annoying. That was a repetitive line in the introduction. And when it popped up again here, I'm like, is this going to like continue for how the story keeps changing? The story. I will find the truth. It's like, oh my God, will you stop?
Reminds me of when I read that Stephen King, what was it, 11/22/63 or whatever the hell?
Yes.
And every other sentence in that book is, the past is obdurate. It does not want to change. It's like, dude, you can lose 400 pages just by cutting out all of everything.
That's how I felt with this. The story keeps changing.
See, that I didn't notice, but now if I go back and read it, I'm sure it's going to drive me nuts.
So. No, it was not. And there's the thing. And Greg Rucka is the writer of this. I listen to Greg Rucka on the Word Balloon podcast, and I am utterly fascinated by everything he says. I read a Greg Rucka comic or novel, and I always go, I feel like I'm reading the transcripts of Morse code or something. It's so dry and so formulaic, and I mean, he clearly has some kind of cursory knowledge of various spycraft, but it's not written in a way that's engaging. It's written in a way that feels like an instruction manual to me. And this has the same feel. I've never read a Greg Rucka anything that I was like, oh man, this is really good. I feel like I'm, you know, totally being pulled into a story. I feel like I'm reading, I don't even know. I cannot get into his writing, and it's not working for me here either. It's just not. And I really, like, Wonder Woman's a character I'm very tepidly familiar with, and I always feel like I should get better versed, and I liked the first arc of Brian Azzarello's Wonder Woman from a few years back, and I was really hoping to dive into this and really enjoy it, and it ain't working for me.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking the same thing. Like, I almost wonder if it's because I had such high hopes for this that maybe that's what forced me to like the first one so much, although I feel like it was a really good book. This one dropped off for me, but maybe it's because I have such high expectations.
Yeah, I was a little more forgiving with the last book because I was like, well, it's a restructuring of the whole story, so I'm just going to take it as a pre-chapter kind of thing. But this is like the official beginning, and I mean, the Steve Trevor stuff was kind of interesting. He's on some mission, it looks like in Africa somewhere, or somewhere in...
Forgot all about that.
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of interesting, his arc, because they're like asking him for Diana's whereabouts, and he's like, I haven't talked to her in years, and he's got this picture of her mugshot, and the guy's like, oh, there's plenty of better pictures where she looks way hotter online. He's like, yeah, but this one is mine. That was kind of interesting, but I don't have a feeling he's going to play a huge part in this story, at least not in the beginning. And her whole, you know, rumble through the jungle was, who cares? So I just, no, I'm not into this. I'm not.
Sweet.
I am officially off the Wonder Woman book till they come up with a new series or get a new writing team, or I'm just not into it. I'm just not a fan of Greg Rucka's writing. I can't get into any of it.
That's fine. Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely not going to say I'm getting off board or anything, because I really do want to like this, and I really am still planning on buying year one in the next couple of weeks, because I'm super pumped. Like, when we went to the Bombshells panel.
Well, that's Grant Morrison, so that one could easily just get super weird, and I'm into the idea.
Yeah, well, plus I like the artwork from Yannick Paquette on that one, so... But I think with this one, like, the first one was really good. This one just kind of dropped off for me. I'm at, like, I don't know, like a 6.5, maybe.
I gave the initial Rebirth book a 5 on our website, and like I said, I felt like I was being a little generous. I'm going to give this a 4. Not into it. The artwork is sort of inconsistent. I mean, it all looks the same, but it just... I don't know. I just don't... I'm not into it. Didn't like it.
Well, there you have it this week. I mean, you can pretty much go by our scores as far as what we liked, thought was the best and the worst. But that's this week of Rebirth.
We didn't rank them, though.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You can just go by our scores, but if you want to rank them, we can rank them.
That's how we end it all.
All right, all right.
Shouldn't have to ask this
everything. That's fine. Best to worst, in my opinion, Action, Aquaman, Flash, Detective, Wonder Woman.
Mine would be Aquaman, Flash, Action, Detective, Wonder Woman.
Slightly different, but not too far off.
Well, my Wonder Woman's really low.
This is true. When I have my notes on here, I actually had Wonder Woman a little bit higher. But the more we talked about it, the more I was just like, I can't in good conscience go that high. So if we would have kept talking, I probably would have went lower.
Well, what's weird to me is when we watched the WonderCon announcement and just leading up to the whole reissuing all these books, if you'd have asked me what was going to be at the top of my list, I'd have been like, well, all the Batman books, obviously, and probably at least one of the Superman books, and then, you could probably grab any random character, and that one will probably be pretty good, too. Right now, Green Lanterns has far and away been the best. Flash, I've only read this one, so I don't want to say. Aquaman, I've only read this one. And Green Arrow. Green Arrow and Green Lanterns have far and away been the standout, best, consistent books thus far. And granted, we're on like issue 2, so let's not go hoisting the flag of Oliver Queen as the new king of DCU just yet. But Green Arrow and Green Lanterns, by far, are blowing the rest of these books away right now.
Green Lanterns, I'll agree with. Green Arrow is... I don't hate it. It's not bad.
And Aquaman is looking like a super strong contender to also be top of the list.
I agree with Aquaman, but I also think Action is awesome. I don't care what anyone says. I'm digging that one. Superman 1's just too weird. I don't get it. Batman 1, beginning was just blah. First Detective, I really liked. This one's meh. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what next week has to bring. Until then, you can find me on Twitter at XorsonX. You can find Brian on Twitter at Pure Rock Fury. You can find all of us on Twitter at Review and Roast, or you can just go to reviewandroast.com, read all the reviews, check out other podcasts. You get a link from there to the Comic Roast podcast. We're on Stitcher, we're on iTunes, we're all over the place, and we're on facebook.com/reviewandroast. So, until next time, see you later.